نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الله سبحانه وتعالى through his kindness has granted us the gift of Salah. A Muslim and a believer should never take Salah as a burden. Don't take it as the command of Allah, order of Allah. No, it is a gift from Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Qurratu ayni fi salah." The coolness of my eyes is in salah. Coolness of my eyes is in salah. That means my happiness lies in salah. Or my excessive happiness, my extreme happiness lies in salah. When a person becomes happy, he smiles. Smiles with a faint smile. Sometimes the teeth are visible. Sometimes you can actually hear he's laughing as well, with noise. So he smiles with a noise. And when he experiences extreme happiness, then tears also roll down his cheeks. So a person can cry out of grief and also out of happiness. But the difference between the two tears is that when a person cries out of grief, the tears are warm. And when he cries out of happiness, the tears are cold. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran that the special servants of Rahman ta'ala wa ibadur Rahman, the special servants of Rahman ta'ala are those who do this, who do this, who do this, who do this. So one of the qualities of the special servants of Rahman ta'ala is الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Every person should benefit from this dua of the special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has quoted in the glorious Quran. Rabbana, O our Rabb, hablana, grant us, min azwajina, from our wives, wadurriyatina, from our children, qurrata a'yun, coolness of eyes. That means whenever we see them, wives, children, whenever we see them, from worldly perspective and also from dini perspective, we see them in a state which bring overwhelming happiness, and when we see them, we cry out of happiness. Because the eyes will only become cool if it is filled with cold tears. So Allah grant us from our wives and our children coolness of our eyes. So make them the coolness of our eyes. The older generation, when they make dua for their children, they had less knowledge, but they were more closer to the Quran and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we have plenty knowledge, but we are away, far away from the Quran and the Ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in Gujarati, the older generation says, Allah tari aankhne thandi kare. May Allah cool your eyes. When they pray for their children, may Allah cool your eyes. That means may Allah grant you extreme happiness, overwhelming happiness in all your matters. So that you cry out of happiness, you shed tears out of happiness. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين. Make our wives, our children, coolness of our eyes. Whenever we see them, we become very, very happy. We cry out of happiness. And what will make a mu'min very happy? So if the father is a mu'min or a husband is a mu'min, and he says that, oh Allah, whenever I see my wife, I want to see her in a state where I become overwhelmingly happy. When I see my children as a father, I want to become overwhelmed. What will make him most happy? When he sees his wife and his children obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person becomes obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person is the wali of Allah. So in this dua, a person is saying, oh Allah, make my wife waliya and make my children awliya. Make them all awliya so that I find overwhelming happiness in my heart whenever I see them. Waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. And make us all, that means me, my wife, my children, all of us now, I am also included. Me, my wife, my children, make us all leader for the muttaqin. So in the first part of the dua, oh Allah, make my children and my wife awliya, those who follow the deen with steadfastness. And the person who becomes a wali, another name for wali is muttaqi. So Allah, make them muttaqi. Make them wali means make them muttaqi. And thereafter another dua, the second part of the dua. So make them muttaqi, make me muttaqi, and not only muttaqi of a lower category, make us the imam of the muttaqin. The mufassirin commenting on this verse say, oh Allah, make us the leaders of muttaqin, the imams of the muttaqin. That means we follow those great awliya who have passed before us. And we become an example for those to come after us. So after we go, they follow us. That means include me, my wife, my children in the chain of the awliya. Those who are followed. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Qurratu ayni fi salah." The coolness of my eyes lies in salah. That means I find extreme happiness in salah. Salat should not be a burden. It should not be a burden. Salat is a means of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salat is a means of communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. As soon as you say Allahu Akbar, you are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have been given the privilege of speaking to Him. In the riwayah of Muslim Sharif, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praises be to Allah, the cherisher of all the worlds, Allah replies, Hamidani Abdi. Allah says, whilst we are performing salat, Hamidani Abdi, my servant has praised me. When he says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most beneficent, the most merciful, the most gracious, the most merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Asna alayya abdi. Hamd, sana. Two different words, same meaning. My servant has praised me. Maliki yawmiddin. The possessor of the day of judgment, the king of the day of judgment. That king of the day of recompense. When sinners will be retributed, and those who have done good will be retributed. Sinners will be punished, and the good will be rewarded. Maliki yawmiddin. He is the king of that day. So is he not the king today? He is king today as well. But he has given small kingdoms to everybody. I am king for my life. I am king of my life. Maybe king of my household. Maybe king of the academy. Maybe king of a factory. Allah has given us some liberty in this world. On the day of Qiyamah, everybody's kingship is gone. Allah will say, Limanil mulkul yawm. Because all the kings will be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir'aun, Haman, Qarun. All leaders will be there. So Allah will ask, Limanil mulkul yawm. For whom is the kingdom today? In the world you had forgotten me. And you did not realize that even in the world kingdom belonged to me, you were under me. Now today tell me, who does the kingdom belong to? According to one opinion of the Mufassireen, Allah will ask this question and for 500 years everybody will remain quiet. Nobody will have the courage to speak in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For 500 years. Thereafter Allah himself will reply, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. Kingdom belongs to the only one Allah today, who is mighty, who is all powerful. Maliki yawmiddin, the king of the day of retribution. So Allah says, Majjadani abdi, my servant has glorified me. This happens in every rakat, my friend. Every rakat Allah is talking to us. But we don't realize. It is for this reason the fuqaha have stated that it is more virtuous and it is more better to separate the verses when reciting in Salat. Instead of reading Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahmanir Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin, it is more virtuous, more better to recite Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahmanir Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin. Not because if we don't speak, if we don't stop, Allah cannot communicate with us. Allah can communicate in any circumstance. But a person is able to pay attention, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, my Allah is speaking to me, Maliki Yawmiddin. When a person performs Salat with this concept that my Allah speaks to me when I am performing Salat, he will rush towards Salat. He will rush towards Salat. And he will read his Salat with all the adab and mustahabbat. My Allah, I am standing in front of my Allah. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. Only you do we worship and only you do we seek help from. So we worship you only and we seek help from you only. You are the only one that help us. You are the only one that we worship. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the first verse was for me exclusively. Second exclusively for me. Third exclusively for me. Fourth verse, my servant has divided it. Half he has kept for himself and half for me. Half for him and half for me. Only you do we worship. That is for me. And only you do we seek help from. So he wants something from me. So that half is for him. So first verse was exclusively for me. Second exclusively for me. Third exclusively for me. Fourth one half for him and half for me. And it seems that he wishes to ask something from me, because he is saying, only you do we worship and only you do we seek help from. So it seems that he desires something from me. And it is my promise. Allah says this in every rakat. وَلِعَبْدِ مَا سَأَلَ مَا سَأَلَ. Those who know Arabic understand. وَلِعَبْدِ, the general, the generality. وَلِعَبْدِ مَا سَأَلَ. And for my servant is all that he asks from me. Everything he asks from me, I will grant it to him. And if we were left by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask for something here, that look, I'm going to give you whatever you ask for, we would have asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every insignificant thing that we could think of. Because insignificant things matter to us, because we haven't got the understanding of the hereafter. So, insignificant matters. Oh Allah, I want to pass in my examinations. Oh Allah, I have a severe headache, cure me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after saying that I will grant my servant all that he asks for, taught us the dua that we should ask. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide me, guide us on the straight path. Guide us on the straight path. And this dua encompasses everything. So Allah says, I will give him everything. And then he teaches us just one sentence by which we ask him for everything. If Allah is prepared to give us everything and we ask only for 5 things, he is prepared to give us 1,000 things and we ask for 900 things. That is being ungrateful to Allah. It is becoming independent in front of Allah that you want to give me 1,000 things, but no, I want only 900. So Allah says, I will give him everything. And then Allah says, say ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, because if you say ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, you are asking everything. You are asking for everything. How? How? It is a very, very comprehensive dua. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide me on the straight path. Everything. I am looking for a job. Guide me on the straight path. So I become successful in finding a job. I am looking for a wife. Guide me on the straight path. So I find a good wife. I am looking for a husband. Guide me on the straight path. So I find a good husband. I am stuck and looking for a lawyer. Guide me on the straight path. So I find the right lawyer. So I am able to become successful in my case. I am sick and I am looking for a doctor. Guide me towards the correct doctor. And Allah, I am also looking for you and your Jannat. Guide me on the straight path. It encompasses everything. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. And we all say, Ameen. Waladdallin. You will say Ameen. Ameen. O Allah, accept our prayer. And thereafter we are asked to recite a portion of the Quran. So the dua is already accepted. We say, O Allah, guide me on the straight path to all successes. So Allah says, recite part of the Quran. And Allah is indicating that this is where the success lies. Read the Quran, understand the Quran and follow the Quran. I will grant you success in this world and the hereafter. So dua immediately accepted. So a person is communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-musalli yunaji rabbahu. The one who is performing salat is secretly talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is privately talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are performing salat with the imam says, waladdallin, and we say, Ameen, according to some imams, loudly, according to some imams, slowly. And both groups substantiate their verdict with ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and alhamdulillah, sahih ahadith. So sahih, both parties have sahih ahadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, When the Imam says Waladdallin, say Ameen. According to some Imams, loudly, according to some Imams, silently, but say Ameen. Why? Because when the Imam says Ameen, there are certain Malaika who have been appointed to say Ameen when the Imam says Waladdallin. So when the Imam says Waladdallin, say Ameen, because Malaika also say Ameen. And if your Ameen falls with the Ameen of the Malaika, all your past sins will be forgiven. Blessing, Salat. Salat is a blessing, gift. Gift of Mi'raj. Gift of Mi'raj. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to Mi'raj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, 50 Salat fard on your ummat. Go. Go with 50 Salat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam met Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when told that Allah has made 50 Salat compulsory upon my ummah, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, oh, 50 Salat, too much for your ummah. Go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him to reduce. Now imagine the awe and the reverence that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says 50 times Salat farz upon your ummah. And now to go to Him and say, oh Allah, reduce it. How difficult it must have been. But for whom did he go? For himself? Because he was going to find it difficult. For the Sahaba? The Sahaba would have found it difficult. For us, for me and you. 40, 30, 20, 10, 5. From 10 to 5. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, your ummah will not be able to perform even 5 salat. So go and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for decrease. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, now I feel shy. From 50 to 5. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. Tell my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that I have reduced the amal. I have reduced the hard work from 50 to 5. But the reward remains the same. So if a person performs 1 salat, he will be rewarded for performing 10 salat. And if a person performs 5 salat, he will be rewarded for performing 50 salat. The amal has been reduced, the reward remains the same. Now here a question will arise in a person's mind. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that ultimately salat was going to be 5 times only, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make 50 times salat compulsory and then reduced it to 5? The answer is simple. This way we can be more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it was 50, but out of His kindness and through His infinite mercy, He has made it 5. And we can be more grateful to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also. That it was through Him. It was His effort. He had so much love for us. And I need to reciprocate by following His sunnah, by making Him happy also. Question number 2. Fine, that's understood. 55. Why not in one go? Why not in one go? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the very first time and he said, oh Allah, reduce salat from 50 to 5. Why first 40? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is having to go a second time. 30, 20, 5. Two answers. Answer number 1. So that we understand the love and the affection our Nabi has for us. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That over again. He went to Allah subhanahu. How difficult it was. Just imagine. How difficult it must have been for him to go and say, reduce, 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 reduce. And number 2, second answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved his Nabi so much that he wanted to give him opportunity of meeting him over and over again. 40, so that he can come back again and see me and talk to me. 30, he can come back again and see me and talk to me. Look at the love between Nabi and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he went to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala various occasions. During that one night, he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He returns, he goes back again. He comes back with 40 salat, he goes back again. He comes up with 30 salat, he goes back again. He comes with 20 salat, he goes back again. He comes with 10 salat, he goes back again. He comes with 5 salat. So he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 6 times. Once he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a meeting. And 5 times he went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for salat, for reduction in salat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating that my Nabi came to see me 5 times for salah. 5 times I gave him the opportunity to meet me. As a result of salah. As a result of salah. If you, O the followers of my ummati, want to see me 5 times in a day, perform 5 times salat. As-salatu mi'rajul mu'mineen. Salat is the mi'raj of the mu'mineen. Anything that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't take it as a burden, my friend. No, it's not a burden. It's not a burden. It's not a burden. If we go to somebody's home, father's home, mother's home, brother's home, friend's home, and we are unwell, flu, cold, fever, and at lunch time or supper time, so many delicious dishes on the dastarkhan, and we sit down, we find it burdensome to eat because we are unwell, because we are sick, we cannot eat. But we never think or we never feel that the host is putting me in an inconvenience. We always feel that he's so kind to me. Look what he's done for me. But it is me who is unwell and unable to benefit from this kindness. That is how we should feel in regard to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That anything that Allah has granted me, it is so delicious, it is so nice, it is so tasty, it is so elevating, it is so soothing, it is so refreshing, it is so beneficial. But I feel regretful and I feel sorry inside and embarrassed that because of my spiritual fever, I am unable to taste it and I am unable to benefit from it. I wish I was well, so I was able to benefit from it. I wish I could eat all these delicious things. And I wish I could enjoy just the way all the other people are enjoying today. That is how we should feel in regard to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is our master, but not in that sense, master and slave, master with a whip in his hand, and expecting the servant to do anything that he desires, whether it is beneficial for the servant or not. Whether it is beneficial for the slave or not. No, anything that Allah has commanded us to do, or anything that he has asked us to refrain from, there is no benefit for Allah, the benefit lies only for us. So salat, a great gift of Allah subhanahu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ إِذَا فَزِعَهُ أَمْرٌ بَادَرَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. If something caused him concern, if he became perturbed, if he experienced any kind of anxiety, what would he do? He would look for a friend? He would look for his wife? No. Badara ila salah. He would rush towards salah. Because he knew that as soon as he said Allahu Akbar, he would be talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One pious person, when he used to go in sajda, he used to remain in sajda for 1 hour, 45 minutes, half an hour, more than 1 hour. And he used to remain in sajda for so long that sometimes he used to doze off in sajda. And some people even used to make fun of him, that he is only pretending to be a pious person by remaining in sajda for so long. So, one of his close associates said, "What do you do in sajda? You go in sajda, what do you do in sajda?" So he said, "When I go in sajda and when I say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, and when I make intention of getting up from sajda, the thought comes in my mind that you may not get another opportunity to put your forehead down on the floor in front of your Creator and say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la." So say it once more. He says, "When I say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la once more the fourth time, and when I intend to get up again, the same thought. When I intend to get up again after the fifth, same thought." He says, "I just continue saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, fearing that if I was to raise my hand and if my soul was extracted, I would never get this opportunity again." That is the most humble posture. A person cannot adopt a more humble posture than sajda. Why? Because in the human body, the most virtuous part is the head. The face and the head. Brain, eyes, ears, nose, tongue. All the important organs, limbs are at the top. If the head is crushed, a person cannot survive. So when he is overcome with love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when he desires to sacrifice everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is overcome with love for Allah. He is overwhelmed by love for Allah, and he wishes to do something for Allah. And because it's human nature, Allah made ruku fard. That going to ruku, so you find some satisfaction that I have done something for my Creator. Allahu Akbar. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Not satisfied. Not enough. Sami Allahu liman hamidah. Rabbana walakal hamd. Now put your face and your head on the floor. Extreme humility. On the floor and say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. It is for this reason the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَابِدُ وَهُوَ sajid. A person is most near to his Creator when he is in sajda. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allahu Akbar Kabira. What do we do when we perform salat? Posture after posture, posture after posture, posture after posture, posture after posture. Counting rakats, counting sajdas, counting tasbihat, counting, counting, counting. 2 gone, 18 to go. 4 gone, 16 to go. And every time the imam sits down after 4 rakats, the heart is pumping heavy with Alhamdulillah. And the pumping increases as the rakats increase. Alhamdulillah, only 4 left. Alhamdulillah, only 2 left. And even in salat, Alhamdulillah, I'm in the last rakat now. Everything opposite. And what was the other culture? What was the other culture? Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha used to spend the entire night in tahajjud. And when she used to hear the azan of Fajr, she used to say, oh Allah, why have you made the night so short? Why have you made the night so short? When we are in tahajjud, after every 2 rakat, light. And when the light is finally on, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, out of the 10 days, 2 nights are gone of tahajjud. 2 sessions of tahajjud gone, only 8 more to go. And Fatima radiyallahu anha says, oh Allah, what has happened to the night? It has become so short. I remember my late father, rahimahullahu ta'ala, when the sighting of the crescent of Eid was announce whenever. Then for the next couple of 2, 3, 4 hours, he would be in extreme grief. The happiness of Eid used to enter his life after Isha, when he used to reach home, even very serious. not happy. Ramadan is gone. And sometimes he used to mention this and weep, shed tears. Ramadan is gone. Only Allah knows whether I will be alive next year or not. And nowadays people start inquiring immediately after Zuhr on the 29th of Ramadan. Any news? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Let us connect ourselves to Salat. This is all I wish to say. Salat, don't take it as a burden. And if we take Salat as a gift, and if we connect ourselves to Salat, because Salat is a fundamental pillar after Iman, so inshallah, after Salat, everything that is below Salat, nothing will seem burden. You will be able to connect yourself to everything, inshallah, if you connect yourself properly to Salat. So the first resolution I would like all of you to make is that from today, every Salah will be performed on time with Jamaat in the Masjid, inshallah. From today, every Salah will be performed with Jamaat in the Masjid on time. We will try to come to the masjid before Azan. If not before Azan, at least so that we are able to perform Sunnah Muakkada, Sunnah Ghair Muakkada. We will come straight to the masjid, not stand in the foyer, not loiter around here and there, straight into the masjid and spend as much time as possible with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will try to perform Salat in the first row, if not first then second, if not second then third. We will try to be in the front row, not the back row, last row. After Salat also, we will read Tasbihat, we will make Dua, we will perform Sunnah, we will perform Nafl. Thereafter we will spend at least a couple of minutes. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a Musalli sits in the Masjid, after he has completed his Salah, Malaika make Dua for the Musalli. Allahumma gfir lahu warhamhu. Oh Allah, forgive him and have mercy upon him. So we'll sit even for 2 minutes, 3 minutes to become deserving of this dua of the malaika. We will focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst we are in the masjid, nobody else. We will not look for Ibrahim, we will not look for Ismail. No, focus. We will not see when the Taraweeh is beginning and when it is being concluded. No. When the Imam says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and he raises his hands for dua, I will know that 20 rakat is finished. I don't have to count 20 rakat. The Imam is doing it. So first thing, sisters at home, they should make a resolution that I will perform all 5 times Salat regularly on mustahab time. The ladies tend to perform Salat, those who perform, but delay, and in the last minute. No. As soon as the Azan is called, just as the men stop everything and start performing wudu and go to the masjid, the ladies should stop everything and perform Salat. That's number one. Number one, 5 times Salat regularly with Jamaat on time in the masjid. Number two, if I have missed Salat in the past, this is the best time, alhamdulillah, to do this. Because so many ulama are here in Etikaf. And every alim of the Islamic Dawa Academy is at your service. Contact an alim, sit down with him, and take help from him in working out how many salat are qada upon you. Because we haven't kept a record. We became baligh at the age of 15 and now we are 35. 20 years. I don't know how many Salat I have missed and how many I have performed. Sit down and come to a conclusion that these are the number of Salat I have to perform. and try to take out time for qada salat and complete qada salat. Because inna awwala ma yuhasabu bihi al-'abdu yawm al-qiyamati as-salah. The very first thing that you will be questioned for on the day of qiyamah will be salat. The very first thing that the immigration officer want to see is your passport. If your passport is fake, he will not ask any other question. You have failed. So salat is like a passport. Or rather, iman is the passport and salat is the visa. If you don't have visa, he doesn't need to ask you any question. He will deport you. Salah. It is for this reason Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, inna ahamma umurikum indi as-salah. The most important aspect of your lives, as far as I am concerned, is salah. Umar radiallahu anhu wrote to the governors. And then he said that if a person is punctual in regard to salah, then he will be able to take care of everything. Because everything else is easier than salah. And salah itself will help you from abstaining from so many filthy things. Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Salat prevents you from immodest actions and from evil actions. Salah, the barakah. If we perform salah the way we should perform. So number one, we from today no salat will be missed. Number two, whatever number of salat we have missed, we will make qada. And whilst we are making qada, we will omit the optional prayers. In the place of optional prayers, we will do qada, because qada farz comes before the optional. So instead of performing two rakat optional after dhuhr salat, we will make one qada. Whether it's Zohar or whether it's Fajr or whether it's Maghrib, one qada. But to keep the habit of nafal in your lives, at least perform the Tahajjud Salat. So omit all nawafil. In the place of nawafil, carry out qada. But at least perform Tahajjud so that nafal stays in your life. Now people will say that Tahajjud is very difficult to perform. No, I will show you easy method. The time for tahajjud begins after Isha Salat. And the best time for tahajjud is to perform it before dawn. That is the best time. But the time begins immediately after Isha. So if you are unable to get up for tahajjud at its mustahab time, perform it after Isha at least. That is also tahajjud. There is difference between the value of the two. But a person who doesn't perform tahajjud after Isha is not performing tahajjud at all. And a person who performs tahajjud after Isha Salat, at least he is acquiring the barakat of tahajjud, and after that he can raise his hand and say, oh Allah, I am very, very grateful to you that you have granted me the opportunity and the tawfiq to perform tahajjud Salat. Oh Allah, grant me the tawfiq to perform tahajjud Salat at its more virtuous time. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful to me, I will increase you. So how will Allah increase you? By granting you the tawfiq to wake up at its mustahab time. So keep tahajjud in you. Even if it's only two rakat. Perform two rakat sunnah after Isha. Then perform two rakat nafla with the intention of tahajjud. And then perform three rakat wajib. All the other nawafil, substitute them by your qada. So there should be no qada before we die, inshallah. From today, there is not going to be any qada, so it doesn't increase. And number three, now once we are over with qada, then we will try to perform as many nawafil as possible. My late father, rahimahullah ta'ala, had so many qualities. When I used to see him, salatul tawbah every day, tahiyyatul wudu after every wudu. Must. It was like fard for him. Tahiyyatul wudu. Tahiyyatul masjid. Every namaz. Every time he entered masjid, tahiyyatul masjid. Because he used to perform his sunnats at home. According to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sunnats at home, fard in the masjid. But as soon as he used to enter the masjid, turakat tahiyyatul masjid. And I have said this so many times. That those people who saw my father, rahimahullah ta'ala, he passed away 22 years ago. There are so many people who are still alive and sitting in this gathering. You will not find a single soul in Leicester who will say that I saw him miss even one rakat in any of his salat. So particular. When he passed away, I said to my mother, that tell me something extraordinary about my father. So my mother said, from the time he married me until he passed away, he never missed the tahajjud salat. And tahajjud in summer, he would not perform tahajjud after Isha salat. No. He was very good at sleeping and waking up. In old age, people can't sleep. But he used to sleep like a young man. He could sleep for as long as he wanted, and he could sleep as less as he wanted. He would go into deep sleep, and if you are talking, sitting next to him, it would not disturb him. Light would not disturb him. And if there was a need for him to join your conversation, now he is awake and talking with you. So for him to go to sleep and wake up after half an hour was just normal, like waking up after 8 hours. So in summer, straight after Isha, he would get home, do whatever he wanted to, go to sleep. After 3/4 of an hour, 1 hour, he would wake up and then perform tahajjud salat. So as many nawafil as possible. And salat is not burdensome. Salat is not burdensome. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Hadrat Maulana Fazlur Rahman Sahib Ganj Muradabadi rahmatullahi alayhi, when he used to go in sajda, he used to find so much comfort in sajda that he would say that when I put my head down in sajda, I do not feel like raising my head. Why? Because he used to say that I feel as if I have put my forehead in the lap of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we feel this way, that my head is in the lap of Allah and He is stroking my head, would we like to raise our heads? No. But sajda is so burdensome to us that majority of us raise our heads before the imam. And we stay in that froggy position. Because you can't get up before the imam. So we raise the forehead, raise the nose from the floor, but we stay there in this difficult position. Why? Only Allah knows. Sajda, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will just relate one incident and then I will conclude today. Uwais Qarni rahimahullahu ta'ala, very pious personality. He accepted Islam during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was only a month travel away from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, maybe less than a month. He was in Yemen, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in Medina Munawwara. He could not travel to Medina Munawwara because he had a mother to look after. And nowadays we go to i'tikaf without checking our needs at home, my wife, my children, my mother, my father. We don't consult the muftis. We go in dawah activities, tabligh activities, umrah, hajj, without confirming with the muftis what does Allah want. By i'tikaf, what do you want? Do you want Allah or do you want to fulfill your desire? By going in the path of Allah, in dawah, in tabligh, what is your aim? Allah or something else? If your aim is Allah, then you should do that which Allah desires from you. What is mujahada? Mujahada is to crush your desire for the pleasure of Allah. So you want to go for umrah, but Allah says, no, you can't go for umrah. You have to look after your dad. This is mujahada, to stay home and crush your desire of umrah. Similar with da'wah, similar with tabligh, similar with i'tikaf, similar with going in the company of your sheikh. One can only carry out these actions if he is not violating any of the rights of his creation. Or rights of the creation of Allah, or rights of Allah. So he did not travel to Medina Munawwara because there was nobody else to look after the mother. Imagine not being able to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine how he must have felt. But he did not say that you look after my mom for 2 months. Mom, I'm going, he'll look after you. No, it's my responsibility. So what status did Allah give him? He did not become a Sahabi. He was unable to become a Sahabi. But because of this sacrifice, the generation after the Sahaba are known as Tabi'in. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he is Khairut Tabi'in. Just as Siddiq is the leader of the Sahaba, Uwais Qarni is the leader of the Tabi'in. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Umar, it was a prophecy, he knew that Uwais Qarni would remain engaged in service to his mother even in the time of Abu Bakr, so he is not going to be able to come in the time of Abu Bakr. Then his mother will pass away, and during the reign of Umar he is going to come. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Umar, a person will come from Yemen, this is his name. If you happen to meet him, then meet him, greet him, and ask him to make istighfar for you. Ask him to make istighfar for you. Umar is being told by Allah, wanted to show the people, the mu'mineen, that what matters is fulfilling the command of Allah. This is where many of us make mistake. And we feel that, oh, I'm giving a very big sacrifice. I'm giving a very big sacrifice. Why? Because I'm sacrificing my wife. I'm sacrificing my parents. I'm sacrificing my children. I'm sacrificing my wealth. A sacrifice is only accepted if we are not sacrificing the command of Allah. A sacrifice within the command of Allah is acceptable. Otherwise, sacrifice is not sacrifice. If one of you says that everybody in Etikaf has fasted only for 30 days, I'm going to fast on the day of Eid as well and make it 31, that's a big sacrifice on my part. No, you are sinning, because Allah doesn't like a person fasting on the day of Eid. And this is why we need to keep in touch with the ulama. This is why we need to keep in touch with the muftis. This is why we need to consult them. This is why we need sheikh. So that we don't make this mistake. So Uwais Qarni, very pious. But he could not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Umar radiallahu anhu, every year during the Hajj season, he would inquire, this person, this name, this clan, this family, this tribe. And finally they met up. And he said that make istighfar for me, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whenever he makes dua, his dua is immediately accepted. Now how was his salah during the night? He would try to perform the salat of the malaika. Just this one incident, and I'm concluding now. Salat of the malaika. All I'm trying to establish is that don't make salah a burden. Inshallah, through the barakah of dhikr, through the barakah of pious company, through the barakah of tazkiyah, salat will become enjoyable for us also, inshallah, one day. Allah has created certain malaika who are only in qiyam, certain malaika who are only in ruku. From the time Allah has created them until the day of Qiyamah, they will be in Qiyam only. They will be in Ruku only. They will be in Sajda only. Some Malaika reciting Hamd only. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Some Tasbih only. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. The person who has been created for Subhanallah, if he wishes to say Alhamdulillah, he cannot do so. The one who has been created for Alhamdulillah, if he wishes to say Allahu Akbar, he cannot do so. The one created for ruku, if he wants to go in sajda, he cannot do so. How grateful and how graceful Allah is to us, that in one rakat we do everything. In one rakat we do everything. Tasbih, tahmid, takbir, tahleel, ruku, qiyam, sajda, everything we are able to do. And these malaika, after thousands of years of ruku, thousands of years of qiyam, thousands of years of sajda, thousands of years of service, when they will come and stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of qiyamah, they will say, Ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik. O Allah, we could not worship you as you were worthy of worship. So Uwais Qarni rahimahullah ta'ala knew this. And he would try to copy the malaika. How would he try to copy the malaika? He would get up for tahajjud salah that night and he would say, tonight is the night of qiyam. Allahu Akbar. And the whole night used to be just in qiyam. Reciting Quran, 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 Quran. 5-7 minutes before dawn, Allahu Akbar. A short ruku, Sami Allahu liman hamida. Short qawma, Allahu Akbar. Short sajda, Allahu Akbar. Short jalsa, Allahu Akbar. Short. And rakat number 2, short. And he would complete the salat. And after performing 2 rakat, he would raise his hand and he would say, Ma abadtuka haqqa ibadatik. The following day, he would say, tonight is the night for ruku. Allahu Akbar. Suratul Fatiha, short surah. Allahu Akbar. And whole night in Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. And just before the break of dawn, short qawma, short sajda, short jalsa, short sajda, short second rakat. And he would say, Ma abadtuka haqqa ibadatik. Ma abadtuka haqqa ibadatik. Third night, he would say, tonight is the night for sajda. Fatiha, short surah, short ruku, short qawma, sajda, whole night in sajda. Subhana Rabbi al-Ala, Subhana Rabbi al-Ala, Subhana Rabbi al-Ala, Subhana Rabbi al-Ala. And after that, Ma abadtuka haqqa ibadatik. Sayyid ibn Jubair rahimahullah ta'ala, one day somebody met him. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. During the conversation, he felt that something has happened to Sayyid ibn Jubair Rahim, Tabi'i, great Tabi'i, Sayyid ibn Jubair Rahimahullah. His tongue was heavy. So he said, are you okay? Is everything okay? He said, yes, I'm fine. But he said, no, your speech is not clear. Are you sure it's not stroke or anything? He said, no, I'm perfectly okay. I have recited Quran last night more than my usual practice. His usual practice every night in tahajjud was to complete the whole Quran. So 30 juz, that's how much love he had for the Quran. And imagine the length of his tahajjud. So he said, I recited Quran last night more than my usual practice. That's why my tongue has become a bit heavy, tired. So the person asked, more than your usual practice, so how much more? 30 juz, so 32 juz. 34 Jews, 35 Jews, he said in total 75 Jews, more than my usual practice. 45 Jews more than his normal practice. Normal practice was 30 Jews, 45 Jews. One day he went into Kaaba, and in Kaaba the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed 2 rakat nafl. So following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also intended to perform 2 rakat. And it was short. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed 2 short rakat and he came out. So he also must have had the intention of following the sunnah. But he got so much engrossed with the Quran, with the salat, so much love for Quran and salat, that he completed the whole Quran in 1 rakat. And my late mentor, Haji Farooq Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, because people normally think that, oh, you are talking about the tabi'in and you are talking about the sahaba. My late mentor, Haji Farooq Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, once he said to me that I went to meet Qari Rahim Baksh Sahib Panipati rahmatullahi alayhi. Now, Qari Rahim Baksh Panipati rahmatullahi was one of the greatest qurra that the world has seen. Science of qira'ah. And his ustad, his teacher was Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati rahmatullahi alayhi. And he resided in Madina Munawwara. From Indian subcontinent, but he migrated to Madina Munawwara. He passed away in Madina Munawwara and buried in Madina Munawwara. And Sheikh Hudaifi also benefited from Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati rahmatullahi alayhi. He is student of Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati rahmatullahi alayhi. So Qari Rahim Baksh, after Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati rahmatullahi alayhi, the greatest Qari was Qari Rahim Baksh. And after him, the great Qari was Qari Tahir Rahimi. He also resided in Medina Munawwara and he was the Khalifa of my Sheikh, Hazrat Maulana Isul Udhyanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, and he was very affectionate to me whenever I used to go to Medina Munawwara. So I saw Qari Tahir Rahimi with my own eyes. Qari Tahir Rahimi with my own eyes. It was his practice that after the Maghrib Salat, whenever I used to go to meet him, I used to meet him between Maghrib and Isha, because I knew his fixed place. So after Maghrib Salat, immediately after the Maghrib Salat, he used to perform 2 rakat, very light sunnats. Light sunnats, 2 rakat. And thereafter, he would start his nafl. And that 1 rakat used to continue every day until the Isha Azan. Every day without fail. Every day, same place. Until Isha Azan. And when the Isha Azan was called, then he would perform 1 rakat, so he would complete that 1st rakat and 2nd rakat so that he has enough time to perform sunnah ghair muakkada before the Isha Salat. So I saw Qari Tahir Rahimi myself. My late Shaykh Rahimahullahu Ta'ala himself introduced me to Qari Tahir Rahimi in Masjid Nabi in the first row. So between Qari Tahir Rahimi and Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Qari Abdul Rahim Baksh Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Qari Rahim Baksh Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And I heard Mufti Taqi Uthmani Sahib Damat Barakatuhum say that whenever I have a question in regard to the science of Qira'ah, and if I am unable to solve it, then I refer to the Qurra, and the only place where I get an answer which is completely satisfactory to my heart is from Qari Tahir Rahim in Medina Munawwara. So in the science of Qira'ah, very high caliber. So Qari Rahim Baksh Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. My late mentor, Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, I went to meet him one day. And when I reached his residence, or the masjid where he was, he had just completed his wudu. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. What is the purpose of your coming? Hadrat, just to benefit from your company, just to meet you. So Qari Rahim Baksh Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, let me perform Tahiyyatul Wudu first. And then I will speak to you. Tahiyyatul Wudu. Tahiyyatul Wudu is mustahab to perform 2 rakat after performing wudu. Tahiyyatul Wudu. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to Mi'raj, he said that I heard Bilal walking in front of me in Jannah. I heard his footsteps in Jannah walking in front of me. So when he came back, he said, oh Bilal, I heard your footsteps in Jannah in front of me. Any special amal that you do? He said, no, Messenger of Allah, nothing special. But it is my habit that whenever I perform wudu, I perform 2 rakat. Or whatever Allah has decreed for me. So he said, let me perform 2 rakat tahiyyatul wudu. So, Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, that with the science of tajweed, his voice was very melodious as well. He used to recite the Quran in a very, very melodious tone, very beautiful tone. So I said, Hadrat, tahiyyatul wuzu is nafl. So, if you give me the opportunity to become your muqtadi, I will also perform 2 rakat with you. And he said, I wanted him to recite the Quran. So he said, okay, fine. So I stood next to him and he began, he said, Allahu Akbar. Qari Rahim Baksh Rahmatullahi. And he is performing what? Tahiyyatul wudu. My late mentor, Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib Rahmatullahi, says that in the 1st rakat he recited 10 juz. 10 juz in the 1st rakat. Let us also create this connection with the Quran, with Salat. And Quran is very tasty. Salat is very tasty. Everything is very tasty. We have become sick. So let us remove that sickness through tazkiyah. Purification of the heart. Let us make this goal of our lives that come what may, we want to purify our hearts. Majority of us already have a Shaykh. But because of lack of connection with Shaykh or lack of following his advices. Sacrifice is required in the initial stages. It will seem bitter in the initial stages. But thereafter, when you become healthy, we will enjoy everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. So just to recap, those of us who have no qaza salat, those of us who have no qaza salat, we have to do 2 things. Number one, try to perform, we have to perform salat with jamaat in the masjid on time. Come early, go late. Slowly, slowly. With this in mind that Allah is watching. And number two, connect ourselves to as many nawafil as possible. And those of us who have qaza upon their heads, we have to do two things now. And then cross one and then two things. At the moment we have to concentrate on five times salat regularly, just as the first group. And with that, as many qaza as possible. Many qaza as possible. Many qaza as possible. Qaza. And once qaza is out of the way, then as many nawafil as possible. And until qaza is on our head, we substitute nawafil with qaza. So we put in our ma'mul that I will perform ishraq every day. But instead of 4 rakat ishraq, we will make qaza. I will perform 4 rakat chasht every day. Instead of chasht, qaza. Or allocate half an hour every day for qaza. Allocate 15 minutes every day for qaza. One qaza with every salat. Azan takes place before asr. Zohar, we may not get time, but let's say asr, we get 15 minutes. So 4 rakat sunnah ghair muakkada and 4 rakat qaza of asr. I think a leaflet has also been prepared by the Islamic Dawah Academy, I think Mufti Ismail Sahib. So try to acquire a copy and then refer to the muftis and the ulamas, please. Because we will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah for every salat. And once qaza is out of the way, as many nawafil as possible. But whilst qaza is being performed, in order to keep yourself attached to nawafil. Because if you don't do what I am telling you to do, what will happen is that as soon as qaza is out of the way, the habit will be not to perform nafal. And you'll find it very difficult to come on nafal. So keep that touch with nafal by performing tahajjud every day. Jazakumullah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك وعشاقك وعشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد اللهم ارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك واجعل موتنا في بلد رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمارنا أواخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا إلى الله.